Naylor and Landsberg in the morning with Matt Cause right now. First of all, let me say good morning, Buster, and introduce you to Matt Cause.
What's happening, Matt? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to have you on. Love the Baseball Tonight podcast. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Have fun doing it.
I'm going to throw something random out at you, and I'm just going to assume that you know. Now, you know that that's a scary thing because I'm known to go off the board, but this one's a baseball-focused thing. We've seen more than half the schedule played, which means the deck has now changed. Everybody has played different teams. Where do the Blue Jays sit right now in terms of strength of schedule for the second half of the season?
By far the easiest among the American League East teams. I did actually a column today about strength of schedule for teams, contenders all across baseball. And, for example, the toughest schedule, no question, belongs to the New York Yankees. They have 58 games remaining the rest of the way against teams with records over 500. And by comparison, the Blue Jays have just 34. So the Blue Jays have 34 games left against teams with records over 500. The Yankees, 58, and some of the other American League East contenders have a lot more than the Blue Jays do. So if you look at the schedule, I mean, you know, you could look at how the Blue Jays have been playing the last month and draw from that that they are the team to beat in this division. But if you also throw in strength of schedule, it seems like they have a tremendous advantage going into the second half.
Well, Buster, on this show about 10 days ago, I set the over-under. I said, the Jays will win the American League East. I believe they'll win by at least five. So I'm setting the over-under at five. Do you want to go over or under?
Boy. That is a tough one. That is a great number. That's a perfect number. First off, I think they're going to win the division. I do. When you look at the various issues that the Orioles are having with their rotation, the Red Sox struggling to find solutions in the trade market, the Yankees, who I think are poised to be sellers at some point, but five is a good number. You know what? I'm going to take the over because I just think they're gathering so much momentum. The X factor, of course, being exactly how the Aaron Sanchez situation plays out.
By the way, Buster, you can't see it right here, but Michael was just giggling, and it could not have been happier that you paid him a compliment. It really speaks to
Buster only.
How insecure he is that he gets a little bit of positive reaffirmation and makes his day. Buster, is the biggest problem, you know what, problem's the wrong word. The Jays at the trade deadline, which is coming up the 1st of August, is that the Jays really don't have a lot of young assets to make a serious run at a player of serious consequence leading up to the deadline.
Yeah, I think that in particular is, if you look at, you know, for example, what the Red Sox have to offer, a whole lot more. The Orioles, I think, are in the same boat that the Blue Jays are in that they don't have much in their minor league system. But here's the thing about the Blue Jays compared to the other teams. Because of how well Marco Estrada's pitched and Jay Happ and the emergence of Aaron Sanchez, the Blue Jays are the most complete team in this division. You know, when you look at the Red Sox, the back end of their rotation, huge concerns. I mentioned the Orioles' rotation. Think about this number. As of this morning, Baltimore is 28th out of 30 teams in rotation ERA. They're 30 out of 30 teams in rotation innings. So moving forward for the Orioles, they have desperate need in their rotation, but they don't really have anything to trade in a really thin starting pitching market. And the Blue Jays, you know, to me, the biggest need that they're going to have going up the deadline is bullpen help. And guys, there's going to be so many relievers dealt before the deadline, and that volume will work in favor of Toronto. So I don't think the fact that they don't have a lot of assets to deal is going to hurt them maybe as much as we thought when we were assessing the season back in March.
The amount of bullpen that's going to be out there sort of goes into my next question. It's about the New York Yankees. And Buster, how long have you covered baseball?
Since 1989.
Okay. How odd is it to have a Yankee team that is openly trying to sell players? You interviewed Yankees GM Brian Cashman earlier this week on the Baseball Tonight podcast, and he kind of said it. And for me, it's just weird. And they've got great names in the, you know, in the bullpen. And it's just strange for me that the Yankees are actually like a small, they're acting like a small market team. They're acting like sellers.
Well, the last time they actually were sellers during a season was in 1989. You know, when they moved Ricky Henderson. It is. It's incredibly unusual that they're in this position. Now, to be clear, they haven't actually gone out and declared themselves as, we are definitely going to sell Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman. Executives of other teams are saying that they're still sort of preparing both paths, buyers and sellers, and that decision ultimately is going to come down to the Yankees' ownership. Now, if you look at the numbers that they're facing, the tough second-half schedule, the fact that they're a 500 team, according to Baseball Prospectus, as of this morning, their chances of making a wild card are about 4%. So if they don't sell, then they would be like the character of Dumb and Dumber at this point, where it'd be like, so you're saying we have a chance. But that ultimately comes in the hands of the Yankees owners to follow through on that. And I will tell you that if they decide to sell those two high-end relievers, which would be the most coveted assets in the trade market, the Cleveland Indians are a team to watch on Andrew Miller.
General managers Ben Cherington and Dan Duquette, I'm sure you do have candid talks with them. Do you think those guys feel like the Jays are now the standard to beat and that they have to be aggressive to be able to stay up with them?
Well, I can't say that I specifically have asked Dan Duquette or Dave Dombrowski, who's the head of baseball ops for the Red Sox, specifically about the Blue Jays. But look, in the spring, when we talked to people about the division, I don't think there's any question the Blue Jays were looked at as the serious favorite. The big question was going to be the production of the rotation, which has been so much better than anyone anticipated. I bet you even within the Blue Jays front office, they didn't necessarily believe that, Marco Estrada would be an all-star, that Aaron Sanchez would be an all-star, and that Jay Happ would be an all-star candidate. That's worked out so much better than anybody thought, and they certainly have had much more rotation stability than any team in the division. I think as they measure themselves moving forward, they have to look at a Blue Jays team which has won 19 of their last 29. They've had 53 homers in the last 28 games. They've averaged more than 6 runs per game over the last month. It's a freight train that just seems to be gathering momentum.
Joined on the line by Buster Olney. Buster, and people can read this in your insider account. And by the way, for everyone out there, the insider account on ESPN, it's a couple bucks a month. You can afford it. You looked at the top candidates for the trade deadline, and what I found interesting was the number one team you had on that list was the Texas Rangers, who also happened to have the best winning percentage in the American League.
Yeah, and that comes down to the problems that have developed within their starting rotation. They are getting you Darvish back on Saturday, and so that's a good thing. And Cole Hamels is an all-star, and so that's a good thing. But they lost Colby Lewis. They've lost Derek Holland. They've had other issues in their pitching staff. Here's the good thing for the Rangers. They are one of the teams that have the most tradable assets, and the expectation of executives with other teams is that they will, before the deadline, add a reliever, a high-end guy perhaps, like an Aroldis Chapman, or maybe they'll be the team that lands Andrew Miller, as well as a starting pitcher. And while the starting pitching market is thin, in a competitive situation, and that's what it would be with the Rangers, with teams like the Red Sox, like the Baltimore Orioles, the Rangers have the power to shove other teams out of the way for guys like Drew Pomerantz, perhaps, or Jake Odorizzi of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Buster, thanks a lot. Are you into the I'm going to guess that the answer is a resounding no, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Pokemon Go?
My son and my daughter are nuts about it. And, in fact, I took a 4.5-mile. It's the best way to get your kids exercise. Your kids are suddenly saying, let's go out for a walk. And during last night's walk, my son nailed 5 Pokemon in 4.5 miles.
Woo! Buster Olney, thanks for joining us. As always, thanks for making the show better.
Thanks, guys.
Buster Olney, ESPN baseball writer and insider, and our guy here on Naylor and Landsberg in the morning.